good afternoon, everyone. So glad you're here tonight. And I'd like to talk to you tonight about the idea of the I am. Now, Jesus makes a number of I am statements in scriptures, and I thought that might make a good lesson to just go over them very quickly tonight. So Jesus says, I am. And we see in John chapter 8, verse 58, Jesus said to them, most assuredly, to say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Now this talks about Jesus' nature from eternity, that Jesus existed. And this is maybe the verse we think of the most where Jesus says, I am, because this is where he proclaimed who he was from eternity. But we go on from there, and we see in Revelation chapter 1, verse 11, these verses are probably well known to much of us, but John used this phrase quite a bit. Now, we know the Holy Spirit is the ultimate author of the Word of God, yet when John writes, he uses this phrase that Jesus said about himself several times. And so in Revelation 1:11, he says, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. So I am what? The beginning and the end, he says. And we go on to Revelation 22, verse 16, where Jesus says, you have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David. I am the bright and morning star. So what is he? He's our guide. He's our true north. He's the one we look to for guidance, and that's who Jesus says he is. We go on to Revelation 2, verse 23. These aren't in chronological order necessarily. And he says, I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and the hearts. And I will give to each of you according to your work. So Jesus also searches us. So God is our true north. He's our guide. He's also one who knows who we are and knows our thoughts and knows everything about us that way. He searches our minds and our hearts. So that tells us he searches my mental capacity and my feelings. So God just doesn't know our intelligence, right? He knows our minds. He also knows our hearts. He knows our center of emotion. So he knows how we feel about things. And so when it comes to what makes us happy or glad or angry and mad, God knows those things. He knows our very heart. So one thing that we need to tell ourselves is that we say, I can't control my emotions. Well, to a large extent, we can. Will some things always make us mad? Yeah. But can those things change over time? I can introduce you. I guess I can't now because they're long gone. People that used to have terrible anger issues. But those over time can be mitigated and decreased and made to where they're not so severe. You can have emotions that you can control to some degree through our bright morning star, right? Jesus said to his own disciples, he said, fear not when they're in the midst of a storm in the Sea of Galilee. And so how can they control their fear? Because they needed to know who they were there with. And that God was going to be able to help and control the situation. We see in John 14:6, when we all know, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So who's Jesus? Well, he's the way and the truth. And that leads to the life. So Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is our path. He is our standard, and he gives us life evermore. In John chapter 6, verse 35, he says, I'm the bread of life. So not only is he our guide, he's our way, he's also our sustenance. He's also the things that gives us strength to go on through his hope, through his teaching, through his truth. And it's through him we have life, and him we have the bread of life, so he sustains us. When we think of the physical body, how we get weak and shaky if we don't eat for very long. The fact is that Jesus says when it comes to a spiritual, we need him in our lives. His teaching, his truth, his teaching, his bread, that we may also be stable and strong. one of the mistakes people make when they start not coming to church or avoiding church services, things like that, and avoiding brethren, is the fact that we can't be strong very long without the bread that Jesus provides us. That's one of the problems. It's not that we can, I'll be fine if I, well, but you'll go weaker, right? Just like the person who has very important medicine they have to take, or else that they will fade away. The bread of life is like that, that we can go without it for a bit and think we're fine, but we're not. And so we have the bread of life to sustain us. John 6, verse 35. Then in John chapter 8, verse 12, he says, when Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I'm the light of the world. Who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John chapter 8, verse 12. What is he? He's the light of this world. Lots of other things are shining bright in our own eyes. We saw before, though, Jesus said that he's our bright and what? Morning star. And so he's our true guide. We see in 1 John also, John talks about the effect that we're to walk in the light. Who's the light? Jesus' light, according to John chapter 8, verse 12. So Jesus is a light of the world. He's the one that makes dark things seem not so scary. I still remember as a young child the idea of going out and walking in the dark. I've told you before, when I was a wee lad, I was taken out camping. It was like a church camp situation. And so someone thought it would be fun to take me snipe hunting. Donald, snipe hunting. I said, sure, I'll go snipe hunting. I was taken out to the woods, of course, with some counselors there who were, of course, fine, upstanding people. No, they weren't. And they took me out there and they munched some brushes and brambles and took me where it was real thick and said, just stay right here. Now we're going to go away and we're going to bang some pots and pans and then stop and you just come running to the sack we gave you. I'm like, oh, that sounds pretty cool. That sounds fantastic. Of course, they went back and to where the camp was and had some coffee and had some laughs and every once in a while would bang some pans so that I thought they were doing a thing. I remember being out there in the dark and hearing twigs crunch and think whatever you think you hear, right? Because you're in the dark and there's no lights around anywhere. I still remember I heard something rustle not too far from me, and you had a little fat kid start running at Mach 10. In fact, I ran through a fence of some kind. I don't know what it was. I just know I burst through it, and later there was some. Anyway, it was not fun. But not being able to see where you're going is scary. It's not good. And running through things, getting all scratched up, things like that are not very good. Jesus says, don't worry about that because I'm your light. I'm the one that makes your path safe. We'll go back to Psalm 23 and talk about those who make the path straight for those who are in the valley of shadow of death. In the valley of the shadow of death. Jesus says, I am your light. Now, in John chapter 1, or John chapter 15, rather, Jesus says, I am the true vine. Who is Jesus? Again, he's that attachment to life. He says, my Father is a vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. He says in the next verse, you are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Again, he provides us sustenance and cleans us. He says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. Again, life comes through Jesus. He gives us vitality in life, spiritually speaking. Not through self-help books, but by the self-help book of God's word. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears fruit. Is that what it says? Bears what? Much fruit. You want abundance in life? Let God be your guide. We talked about how putting God first is not a detriment to family. It's a way to make family stronger. You want to be a good husband, a good wife? Put God first. You want to be a good mom and dad? Put God first. There are times when that means we make sacrifices among our families and do things that maybe we wonder if that's the best choice, but ultimately it always is. Because when our children see a sacrifice to do the things of God, that's always better than just to compromise our faith in God to try and meet other physical needs or other worldly needs. It's just not good. He says, when Jesus said to them, John 10:7, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Who is God? He says, I am the door of the sheep. He's the pass-through. He's the way that guards us from dangers around us. The idea of being the door to the sheep was there were shepherds would have these little structures, often just a pile of stones set together, and there would be enough of kind of a small wall, often very haggardly put together, but there would be enough to where it would protect them from most predators. And so you put the sheep in the sheepfold, so it was called the sheepfold, and then there was a doorway that there would be a shepherd who would sit in the doorway. So anything coming and going would have to cross his path first. And so Jesus says, I am that door. So he says, no one can come or go without me, number one. And number two, I'll protect you. So Jesus is our protection in John chapter 10, verse 7. Verse 11, he says, I'm the good shepherd. The good sheep gives his life for sheep. This is the idea, again, of protection we just talked about. What did Jesus do to protect his sheep? Jesus gave his life for the sheep. And we read about that every Sunday. We think about it hopefully more than that. But the fact is that someone would give their life for you and they would give so much. Jesus gave up the best of heaven so he could come to earth and live an earthly life and a perfect life even and still suffer for things he never did. I remember like you do, I'm sure you probably have these memories, these constant memories at least, where there were times with me and my sister, we're always fussing and fighting in the car going someplace, and my mother would yell at me, James David! Sometimes she would smack me in the process, you know, how parents can turn around with perfect accuracy and smack their kids without even looking. Brett, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Not that that ever happened, of course. But the idea that sometimes I felt like I was hit, and it wasn't my fault, Kenneth. It just wasn't my fault. It was my crazy sister, and she's really crazy. And the fact is, my mother would say, well, I'm sure you deserve it for something else, right? I'm sure there was another reason. I'm sure you did something you didn't get caught for, so this time you got smacked, just put it in the bank. Put it in the bank. You're fine. You're fine. The fact is, she was right. Most of the time I got tagged, she was totally right in doing that. Of course, she was right because she was my parent, but also the fact that I'd done something. But there were a few times where I felt I was truly unjustly punished. Austin, you know what I'm talking about? It wasn't my fault. I can't imagine going through life having lived a perfect life, having never sinned, having never done wrong, having a purpose of my Heavenly Father, and still suffering for the sins of all mankind on the cross. Every sin that would ever be committed was levied on the cross, or at least prospectively was, and the fact that when we repent, our sins are forgiven through Jesus. That's amazing. Who's Jesus? He's the good shepherd. He protects us. Now in John 10:26-27, this is the same text. I love these verses so much, I quote them on most sermons I present one way or another. He says, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. As I say to you, my sheep hear my voice. And what? And I do know them. And they what? They follow me. Jesus' sheep hear and follow. Now, that's a metric of who God's sheep are. That's who his followers are. They hear and they follow. How many of Jesus' followers or proposed followers or those who think they're followers don't listen to Jesus anymore? We talked this morning in Bible class, Mark chapter 9, that Jesus, when they were at the Mount of Transfiguration and the cloud overshadowed them, what was said there? This is my son, hear ye him. The voice of God from heaven, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. Great advice to listen to Jesus. Great advice to know his word so we can hear it in our hearts whenever we come into a problem or a crossroads or where we have a difficult choice to make. Not only do we hear his voice, though, he says in this text, I know them, and they hear and they follow. Not they hear and disregard, but they hear and they follow. Look at chapter 11, verse 25. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. We know each of us has a time where our physical life will end. None of us will keep breathing forever. If Jesus comes back, even our physical bodies will be done. It will be transformed into something spiritual in nature. Whatever that means exactly, the scriptures tells us that's going to happen. So what is Jesus? He's the transition. He's the resurrection. He takes that which dies and give it life again in a spiritual sense. So he's the resurrection and the life. He believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. So when it comes to our next, whatever our next is, it's based on who Jesus is. He's our God. He's our protection. He's the one who can take us from death to life. And no one else can do that, but Jesus can. And having faith and hearing his word and following him, because listen, he died on the cross for my sins. He's been dead and he came back 3 days later, like the scripture foretold and what actually happened. I can't imagine. You know, Paul tells us that when Jesus was resurrected, there was one time where he appeared to over 500 brethren at once. I can't imagine, but just being in that crowd, it must have been electrifying to have known who Jesus was, to kind of follow his teachings, but then the Romans take him and they crucify him. That must be a low point if you're a follower of Jesus. I'm not even talking about an apostle. I'm talking just of someone who followed him, someone who heard him preach maybe a sermon or two, or maybe even heard about the miracles he did. He had such high hopes for this one called Jesus. And now he's dead. And you think, how could that be? How could that have happened? And so some time passes, several days, maybe a week or two, because we know he was with the apostles like 40 days after he was risen again. So in that process somewhere, when he's teaching them and making appearances, he would just pop up and appear to gatherings of brethren. Paul says one time over 500 brethren at once saw Jesus resurrected. Can you hear the silence in the group of people who would have seen Jesus after the resurrection? Can you hear the stillness? Can you feel the awe that would have been there? And maybe there were some that never saw Jesus in the flesh while he was living. They just heard about him. Maybe they're there because friends have said, listen, Jesus, he healed my son. He preached to me. He preached from the words of Moses, and he's a Messiah. So maybe you're there with a friend. Maybe you're just considering Jesus. Maybe you're not been a hardcore follower for very long. Maybe you're not even hardcore. Maybe you're just there because you're trying to comfort your friend who's a follower of Jesus. And then Jesus appears and it changes your life. I know this. I know Jesus doesn't appear to us now like he did to them then. But God's word, as our true north, as our God, as our life-giving sustainer, I've lived long enough to know this. I've not lived as long as many, but the more we apply the true north of God's word to our lives, the better off we'll be every single time. Why? Because he made the earth, and he made us. He knows everything we're going to go through. He knows our minds and our hearts. He knows our emotions and our intellect. And God gives us the bread of life to sustain us as we go through life so we can one day be in the true resurrection that Jesus gives us Then we have one day have a home in heaven, which Jesus says in John 14, he goes to prepare a place for us. So I'm going to trust that word, and then I'm going to trust his teaching. And God, help me to do that. I'm reminded of the one we were reading to, we're getting to in Mark chapter 9, who Jesus told a man who had a sick son. He said, only believe, when he asked Jesus for healing for his son. And the man said, Lord, I believe. Then he said these words. You ready for this? Lord, I believe. Then he says, Lord, help my unbelief. He just said, I believe. Then he says, Lord, help my unbelief. How can both those things be true? It's just like we have in our own lives. You here tonight, you have belief of some fashion, of some kind. In Jesus, you have belief. But sometimes our faith is tested. And sometimes we want more faith. We want more belief. So this man, he said, I believe Jesus, but concerning this thing that's going on in my life, my son's dead. Help my faith be stronger. Help my faith grow. Help my faith be adequate. Isn't that a statement we can all make? That while we believe in Jesus, Father, help our unbelief. Sometimes our faith doesn't quite stand up to the test like we wanted to, or like it should, or like we hope it will. Our statement can be like this man with his dead son. I believe, but Father, help my unbelief. Help me be stronger in my faith. One thing we need to realize is as we seek to try and help the church grow in 2023, as we pursue Bible studies and we try and be the light Jesus wants us to be, we need God's help to help our unbelief. That means to help us be stronger. Not that we don't believe, but help us, Father, be stronger in our faith. We can all use more faith in that sense. Now, these are the I ams of Jesus. I hope we see John when he wrote them and what they meant for us. We try to notice in every passage a little bit of teaching that goes along with these I ams that Jesus made. Because when Jesus revealed his true character, who he was, it always came along with a bit of teaching, didn't it? We saw that tonight. The end of the matter is this, that we should follow Jesus, and if we are his sheep and we realize he's the door which protects the sheep, that we will hear his voice and follow him. Now, maybe that's advice we need to hear tonight, that we need to hear the advice that we should hear Jesus and follow him. Because God said of his son on the great mount, he said, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. That being the case, if you have a need tonight to respond to this invitation, which is God's invitation, not mine, not the elders, but God's, if you have a need to respond in some way to us for the prayers of the church, or maybe you want to repent of sin, or even to be baptized into Christ this very night if you've not done so, if we can help you, please come as we ascend and sing this hymn.